Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
I'm nationwide. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, thank you especially for that. Walter Olson is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the author of The Rule of Lawyers, How the New Litigation Elite Threatens America's Rule of Law. He's also has an outstanding website called overlawyered.com. I love the name of that website. Walter, welcome back to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Walter, we've had lots of silly lawsuits in the last several years. People who get fat because, and then they want to sue McDonald's because the French fries were, they say the French fries made them fat or whatever. Or people who smoke cigarettes after 40 years of knowing that they would hurt you, suing the tobacco companies because they've got lung cancer, things like that. But there may be some sillier, even sillier lawsuits in the offing that you've been talking about lately. Talk to us about that.
Well, last month there was a flurry of reports in the press some professors were predicting that employers were going to wind up getting sued because their employees had gotten addicted to BlackBerries and other modern personal communications assistants.
Where they become crackberries then?
Crackberries is the nickname, and we all, I think, probably know someone who spends too much time at their computer or emailing via one of these little devices. And these professors, or so went the story at least, were saying that with so many legal developments trying to sue over addictions, that at some point this was going to be declared an addiction too, and the employers were going to be sued for it. And I have to say, even though I'd make a specialty of trying to look on the horizon for ridiculous new ways that business is going to get sued, I was and am skeptical of this one. I think that it was significant that the professors, led by a professor at Rutgers, they were not law professors, and they may not have realized that this particular one has more humps to get over before business should worry about it.
Well, but wait a minute, Walter. Now let's talk about this for a second, because I mean, I could see where someone would say, I lost my family because I got addicted to staying online, or a spouse. An alienated spouse, a strange spouse, could make your company a co-defendant in a lawsuit. In a divorce suit, and claim that your company created, an alienation of affection or something like that.
Well, let's break this down piece by piece, because actually a lot of the different component parts of this have been tried with varying levels of success in court. And where I start is on the question of what does it mean to be addicted? On the one end of the spectrum, the law agrees with common sense that there are various chemicals and drugs that you can be addicted to. But people have been suing over the last 10 years, claiming that other things are also addiction. And even when it comes to gambling, which is the one where common talk, often does talk about it as being addiction, even on those ones, the courts have not been very friendly to letting people who are addicted to gambling blame someone else for it, blame the casinos for giving them too much credit, or whatever it is that they're trying to blame. And as soon as you move to these behavior addictions like shopping addiction or video game addiction or internet addiction. Most of those have been tried one way or another in court, and the judges really haven't been very sympathetic to trying to blame it on someone else. For the moment, that line is held. I don't know if it's going to hold forever. But so right there, you've got there's this lawyer in Florida who is always suing over alleged video game addiction. It's a little bit more sympathetic in one way because these are not 21-year-olds. These are often 14-year-olds,
right.
16-year-olds, and the law is going to be a little bit more tender. Even so, he never wins, so far as I know. And at some point, the court just says, we're sorry, but if kids are given access to the games, we're not going to blame them for playing them too much. Where were the parents? And at any rate, it's not the business of the game company to not make the games fun. So those kids fail.
Hold on to that thought, Walter. I just heard from a member of my crack staff who wants to know if a wife can sue over an addiction to the Golf Channel. So we'll let you answer that when we come back. We got more to come with Walter Olson right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. I think it'll help you. Thousands of articles, thousands of archives, all the way back to 1999. We've been collecting these. We've been live on the internet since 98, and I've been archiving since 99. So check that out when you get a chance. You can go back and hear all the really smart things that Walter Olson has said to us in the past on our show. We've collected all of those, all of his genius, and preserved it for posterity, and it's all available at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget our newsletter, which you can subscribe to, which is free, comes on Sunday by email, and the blog. Our blog is updated every weekday, as is yours, Walter, right?
It sure is.
Give us that website.
www.overlawyered.com and also www.pointoflaw.com.
Pointoflaw.com. Now, how would I decide which one to go to?
Well, Overlawyered usually has the funnier things and the lighter pieces of news, and Point of Law often gets a little deeper into business litigation that may not be very entertaining, but is important for people in the business world.
So if you want to see us, I can't believe that story. Go to overlawyer.com, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And The Rule of Lawyers is available wherever books are sold, I know. And of course, you're a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. Why don't you give us that website, too, please?
That's www.manhattaninstitute.org.
And I think there's a dash in the middle there, isn't there?
I think it works either way.
Did they take that out? Okay.
One way doesn't work, try it the other.
Okay, I got you. Okay, Walter, we're talking about folks, we're talking about a possibility of potential lawsuits for the technology that we ask our employees to use, and one of the things, Walter, I think I agree with you. I think the idea of people saying that they got addicted to their BlackBerry or whatever, I think that's a long shot. But what about one of the things that you write about recently also is about something that might really be an issue, and that is how often we expect our people to be available to their BlackBerry. Talk to
now,
us about that.
There you've got a very serious issue, because the wage and hour suits over whether you've misclassified employees as exempt from wage and hour laws when they shouldn't be exempt, whether you've required overtime of ones that you're supposed to pay time and a half, whether you've kept people on call in a way that means that you should be compensating them. Those have been very hot areas of litigation. Lawyers have been getting the courts to treat those as class actions, which means that you can make a mistake, and it can be a good faith mistake, which doesn't get you off the hook. And before long, even if only one person complained, that class action means that you may be on the hook for enormous back pay to all the ones who didn't complain too.
Right. And but here's the question. Now, some people have to carry beepers in their business. And of course, a BlackBerry And our cell phone is basically the same thing as a beeper, just more capability. So if you require somebody to keep it with them, keep it on their belt, so to speak, and even if you don't call them, but you expect them to wear that thing, is that tantamount to them being on duty, and should they be paid?
Well, here's something you should talk to someone familiar with whatever state you're in and line of business you're in, because the law may differ depending on those two things. And last thing I want to do is give legal advice. I'm not a lawyer in the first place. And
we love that about you, Walter.
Yeah. But at a first approximation, there's a lot of times when you can ask people to be reachable without having them count as being working on call for you. And there's a formula about engaged to be waiting versus waiting to be engaged, which sounds
similar. Say that again. Wait, Walter. Say that again. The formula.
Engaged to be waiting, I think, are people who are not supposed to do ordinary off-hour activities because they might be needed. Waiting to be engaged means, go ahead and do your activities, but you never know when an emergency may come up, and we're going to ask for your hours. And it sounds like subtle difference, but I think it winds up being the line that the law sometimes draws between when you have to pay and when you don't have to pay. Again, technical area, go off and invest in at least buying something to read that will be relevant to your line of business, because lots of people are exempt from this totally, and then some states have stricter law.
And the states are different, but if you've got it's possible that if you ask somebody to be available through by keeping their cell phone with them, their BlackBerry with them, or their pager with them.
You probably need to be asking a little more of them than that. But yeah, there are circumstances where the courts have found that even though they were sleeping or off your premises or fishing or whatever the thing was, that the combination of demands that you put on them was too much like making them just wait to, before being summoned back on the job. And if you, again, these things are so often on a spectrum. If you think about it, you've got them at work during a day, you can't kick them out for 45 minutes necessarily in the middle of the day saying, oh, go off and go fishing and we're not going to pay you for that 45 minutes, because it's too clear that, they've just got to come right back.
Right.
And so most of the time, I think the rule is that people who are on beeper systems and that sort of thing, if otherwise you're letting them go about their lives. They don't count as being engaged.
But if they are beeped or called or whatever, they get to turn that amount of time in when they come back, I guess.
Again,
hold on to that thought, Walter. I'm going to let you answer that when we come back. Then I'm going to ask him about a federal lawsuit that's just been allowed. And when we come right back after these messages, 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingham. We'll be right back with Walter Olson. He's with the Manhattan Institute. Drifters, ladies and gentlemen.
They say there's always magic in the air.
Classic. Great song. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Walter Olson, the author of The Rule of Lawyers, available wherever books are sold. Walter K. Olson, also the author of Litigation Explosion, and I love his website that he calls overlawyered.com. If you want to see some ridiculous stuff, folks, that you won't believe it, but it's true because it's on his site, go to overlawyered.com. Walter, I think you were wrapping up a thought on the time issue, and then I want to get to another point. Was there something left in how people would be paid if they were actually paged or called off the air? I mean out of work.
Yeah. Well, one thing we didn't mention is a lot of people will say that they were using their BlackBerry after hours on company business, and
right.
If you expected this of them, then again, you could find yourself with a wage and hour problem on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just doing it on their own, again, maybe a different legal situation. But be aware of these wage and hour laws, because a lot of businesses have gotten tripped up for major amounts of money.
If an email comes,
follow your intuitions on it.
If an email comes in at 8 o'clock at night and you want to check it and return it, you know, don't turn your time in on that when it was something you could have done the next morning.
Yeah, and if you are the boss and you are sending emails at 8 p.m., be aware that you know, if you get mad at people for not returning them by 8:30, then you're beginning to change the nature of the job.
Right, I see what you mean. Yeah, you can, folks, you can start to see where this, and this is an example of where technology, as wonderful as it is, adds a little bit of complication to our lives, and we just have to be a little more aware of it, a little more. But it's not a reason not to use the technology, I'll tell you that. Walter, in the last couple of years, I guess, there was a major tort reform breakthrough when you correct me if I'm misstating the way this, mischaracterizing this, where class action lawsuits were required to go before federal courts to prevent lawyers from shopping districts that would be favorable in state courts to their cause. They're required to launch them, to basically file them in federal courts, right?
Well, if they want to do a nationwide class action representing people in all 50 states, then
right.
This law pressed them to go to federal court,
right,
instead of asking a state to resolve the rights of the residents of the other 49 states.
And so in the last few days, there has been a case that has been brought before a federal judge to sue tobacco companies who claimed that their light cigarettes were better for folks, weren't as harmful, when it turns out that they may have been. And that was allowed recently, right?
Judge Weinstein in the federal court in Brooklyn just approved that. Now, that case has been pending for a while and got big publicity, but among those watching that kind of litigation, I think everyone recognizes the maverick judge. Most federal judges would not have approved that. And again and again, the appeals court that reviews that particular judge's rulings have ruled that there should not be a class action, even though he had certified one. So I think odds are overwhelming that that one's going to get reversed when it's appealed.
And the reason is because?
Well, the precedent on the books discourages class actions that have to combine the laws of different states, which are, of course, the state consumer fraud laws differ from state to state. And if you're trying to do a national class action based on violation of that, then you've got the problem of if states don't all handle it the same way.
So
beyond that, you're supposed to get a class action only if all of the complainants have been harmed in the same way. In this case, everyone who's looked at it really kind of has to admit that some of the people who sue may have a case that they were misled. Other ones were not going to change brands or not going to spend any less money on cigarettes, regardless, and may already have known what was supposedly being kept from them about how you can overcompensate for the light cigarette designed by sucking more of the smoke into your lungs, and it's just as unhealthy when you do that.
Well, it's a very interesting case. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out. Walter, give us your website again, please.
www.overlawyered.com.
If you want to have some fun, go to that one. If you want to read a little more serious stuff, go to the other one. Give us that one, too.
www.pointoflaw.com.
And the book is called The Rule of Lawyers by Walter K. Olson. Walter, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Walter Olson, ladies and gentlemen, also senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Great organization. Got a lot of good friends there. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.